just want to encourage something that I forgot. If you really have a hard time going through the Bible in a year, or if you try to start and never really go any further, we have these papers here. It's just like a, I printed out, it's on the table there, is a guide. If you want to really read through the Bible, you can read the way is directing you, and you just put little check marks in here. And when you get to the end, you read the whole Bible. So if it's something you want a guideline to help you to read the Bible through the year, it's there. You can print it. You can take it with you. You can take as many as you want. If you run out, I'll print more for you. So if it's something that you want, is on that table there. I think that we as Christians, we should read through the Bible. We should take time and read through. I know we have many venues today on which we can read through the Bible. You can even have somebody reading the Bible to you if you have a Bible app. Some people do it that way. But I put it there just to help you. Anyway, let's look at 2 Peter, chapter 3. Look at verse 1. So the second epistle, The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostle of the Lord and Savior. That's 2 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 3 now. Knowing this first, and there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, what is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And this they willing are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflown with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, you described here to us the reality of the future of this galaxy, of this earth, as it's coming. Lord, we don't know when it's coming, but it is coming. And Lord, what an urgency for us as your children to give the gospel to people and to tell the people of truth, of the truth, of what they need to hear. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here this morning that never really received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, or even on social media this morning, may they call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So you say, what a strange passage of Scripture for a first Sunday of the month, of the year, as we set our vision for the year. Well, you just put what the Lord lays in your heart, of course. But let me tell you, usually the first Sunday of the year is a day of reflection. Some people like to reflect on what the previous year gave them, on ups and downs. And usually people just reflect on their victories. They don't try to reflect on the other stuff. But let me tell you this, for me personally, it was a challenging year. It was a challenging year. It was a year of sickness. I came down with COVID, and many of you did. It was a year of losing loved ones. We did lost loved ones, and it was hard. And even though we're walking around with a smile, but the heart is broken and cracked, you know. It was a challenging year. But I tell you what, looking in the in a bad side, it was a challenging. It was very challenged. Many things happened. But in a positive side, it was a good year too. God's still on the throne. God is in control. Listen, there was nothing that happened in 2021 that God was not aware of. We were not, but God was. And God gave us the grace to go through those times, as difficult as may seem. They're difficult. They can be very difficult, the way we face life. But anyway, that was 2021. Now we're 2022. Let me tell you something that's very real. You don't know about tomorrow. You only know about right now. You don't even know about tonight. Might as well tomorrow. You see, that's the reality of life. So as we march through this year, what are we going to do? Are we going to be the same old, or are we going to change? You see, that is up to you. That is up to me. I cannot change you. You cannot change me. But if something that can change you, it can change me, is the Word of God. The Word of God can change us if we allow it to. You can read it. You can hear it. But if you don't allow that to penetrate your heart, it won't ever change you. And you have to want to change you. It's like this. You see, like a drug addict or a drunker, you know, and is submerging that addiction, and you send, or is, let's say, as a family member, and you send that person to get help. Well, if that person doesn't really want to be helped, guess what's going to happen? They're going through the program, they come out, and what are they going to do? They're going to do the same thing. They want themselves to change. And let me tell you, this is a new year. It can be a year of changing for you and for me. And one thing that God promises in His Word, He will be with you every step of the way. So it is a great year ahead of us. What's going to happen this year? I don't know. I have no clue. I don't even know if I'll be here by next Christmas. You don't even know if you'll be here by next Christmas. That's the reality of life. We don't know. But what we need to do, I think, is something that we need to do as we face this new year. I think what? Because I'm gonna tell you why we need to do this, is this. All right. We have a world that is trying to get into your mind, and it gets into the minds of others, and we have God that wants to bless you. In order for God to bless you, we need to take that worldly mind out of our minds and what? Refocus on God. So what we're going to do this year is this. That's my theme for the year. We're going to refocus. Refocus on what? We're going to refocus on God. That's what we need to do. I think each one of us individually need to refocus on what is important. You saw the first video. You can have all the success in this world, but in the end, accumulates to nothing. You know, some people have all that money can buy, and they're very unhappy. Very unhappy. I remember one guy that won the Super Bowl many years ago. I think it was one of the Cowboys. I don't ask me his name because I really don't follow that much football. But he said they went. How many years the Cowboys won a Super Bowl? It's been several years back. But he said this way. Somebody asked him, so how do you feel about being a champ? He says, well, to be honest with you, my anticipation was greater than now, because I look at it and say, that's it. That's what happens. So refocus on the new year. That's what we need to do, to refocus. There's nothing worse than a blurry photograph. The content of the photo may have been very special, but if the photo is not in focus, it is not worth of keeping. Agree with that? Most cameras today, when used correctly, automatically focus. That's what we have today. But in years gone by, one had to manually focus the picture, which required frequently refocus. Unless, if you didn't do that, you would have a blurry photograph. So in our busy world, it's common for our view of the future to get out of focus many times. And we forget what we're doing in this world. Listen, let me ask you this question. What are you living for? What is the purpose of your life in this world? We saw the first video about helping others, about caring for others. You know, it's actually more joyful to give than to receive. Did you see the smile in people's lives, people's faces when you give and you watching? It doesn't bless your heart. What about helping a helping hand? Listen, we have folks that come here for our food pantry, and you can see in their faces their need and the joy that we have to give. It is a joy to give. So we are, if we're not careful, we will lose our biblical focus, enjoy the world and its focus on global things. Let me tell you, we have a world that is focused on totally different things. And unfortunately, many times we follow that focus and we lose the meaning of what we're here for. What is the purpose of our lives? What are we living for? What legacy we want to leave behind when life is over for us? What do you want people to say of you when you're dead and gone? I think we need to refocus on what is important and what is relevant in life. Let me tell you today, it's not very popular to be a Christian these days. You got to join the crowd because it's not cool. It's not cool to dress right, speak right, behave right, and to live right. And so it's not cool today. That's the word they use today. I mean, I'm out of touch with it because I don't use that word. But anyway, it is not cool today. But you know what? So what? Don't you think it was the same thing in Jesus' days? So I believe that we need to refocus on what is important. I think we need to individually to do a survey in our busy lives and what we do. Because I tell you what, I said this morning in Sunday school, how many hours you have in the day? 24. All of us are given each day 24 hours. And it's up to us to do something with those 24 hours. And I think we need to refocus on what is important and relevant to us. Because I think there's a lot of wasted time in the time that God gave us. I'm not going to get into that, but I can go get in a rabbit trail on that. But I think we waste a lot of time and we say, I don't have time. I think we need to refocus on what is important and what is lasting for each one of us. So I'm going to give you some points here this morning is refocus on the Lord's promise to return. And we see this from verse 1 and verse 8 of our text here. Folks, we live in an age where there are people claiming to be Christians who do not believe that the Lord is coming back. I say this to those people, what kind of Christianity do you believe in? See, in order for us to refocus on what is important, we need to stop believing in those wind of doctrines and focus on the truth of Scripture. We may be passionate people, which we are, or opinionated people, but when it comes to the Bible, the Word of God, we ought to put our opinions aside and believe and practice what the Word of God teaches us. I think we Christians should be people who know the Word of God. I think we should know the Word of God. I think we should be capable of telling others about our hope, about our great Savior. I think we should be people that way, people that are focused on what is important. Listen, what is the reason you and I were born for? To give God glory. I'm not going to point fingers. I'm going to point it at me. Am I giving God glory for the life that I live? See, I need to do a survey in my own heart. Am I giving God glory with the life that I live? Is God pleased with my life? If not, then I need to refocus to live a life that is a big thank you to Him. Because ultimately, we live and die. So letter A under that first point, don't worry about the scoffers. Look what it says in verse 3 and verse 4. Knowing that this first, that this shall come on the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts and say, what is the promise of this coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all the things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So it is interesting. We say, where's the scoffers? Folks, there are many scoffers in our world. I cannot believe in the day and age that we live in that people actually curse Jesus. That people swear and put Jesus' name there. And that shouldn't bother me. It should bother you and me. It bothers me, and I hope it bothers you too. Because I tell you what, that's the world, the day and age we live in. People that throw the name of God to the ground like He is just a little soccer ball or a little basketball, a little object, when God is the creator of all. And let me tell you, those people one day will face Him, and they have to give an answer for the way they live their lives. But we, those of us who are saved, we should not worry about these people. Let me tell you why we should not worry about these people. Because you cannot control what people say. The only thing you can control is what you say, what comes out of your mouth, and how you behave. We cannot control others, but we can control ourselves. But let me tell you, I believe also that our very presence, when we are in somewhere and we live godly, honest life before the Lord, I think that makes them uncomfortable. And sometimes we see the scoffers say, oh, I'm sorry. Because the scoffers are everywhere. Scoffers have been present since the Garden of Eden. Satan first tempted temptation of man was in the form of a scoffing of God's command. Did God said? You know what? Scoffers dominated Noah's day as well, leaving God with little choice but to destroy them all. Noah preached and preached and preached. You know what they did? They make fun and mocked him. Nobody believed. But God kept his promises. Today, we have many scoffers. More than ever, we have scoffers all over the place. Folks, I tell you what, I'm not naive. I do not go on social media purposely to pick on people and to be a spy. I don't do that. But I tell you what, I see the mockery. I see what's going on in those social medias, what people do and what they say and how they use God's name. And that's sad. See, scoffers are, even these days on social media, and they mock God. They mock God's people. They mock God's house. And they think they're okay, and they laugh. And everything is fine. But let me tell you, we should not be concerned about them. We should not be afraid of them as God's people. Don't worry about scoffers. Does it bother you? Yes. But what we do when people are scoffing the word of God, when we do when people are making mockery in the word of God, I'll tell you what we do. We show Christ to them. Show Christ to them. Scoffers will fit right with crowds. But I tell you what, but let me tell you, just show Christ to them. You see, these days, scoffers have tried to redefine marriage, to change genders and create a fantasy world in which reality becomes whatever if they feel like. Not long ago, such mindset was defined by insanity. Now we are told that is ultimate wisdom. So we cannot say anything because everybody gets offended these days. So folks, we Christians cannot have the same mind as these scoffers have. We cannot go along with the crowd. Did you ever stand in a river or in a stream and try to walk towards the current? What happens when you do that? You have to put all your effort, all your energy to go against the current. I don't know if you've ever been in such a place. I've been. You try to go, the current's coming this way, and you try to go against the current. What's happening there? You have to put your effort to try to walk because the current want to push you down. That's exactly the current of this world. The current of this world is going this way, and they want to take you with them. And it takes energy and effort and determination to stand up and walk against the current. Let me tell you, are you willing to do that? In order to do that, we need to refocus on what is important in our lives. Let me ask you this morning, what is important to you personally in your life? What is important? And go after those things that are important to you. Peter predicted that in the last days, people would mock the Lord's return. Peter tells us that mockers are willingly ignorant in verse 5. They willingly reject the biblical creation. Today, many people don't believe in creation. They believe in a Big Bang theory and evolution. And I say to that, you know, but that's what they believe. We don't believe in a God of creation. They willingly reject the biblical flaw that Noah's flood never happened. And it was just, but it did happen, the Bible talks about. They willingly reject the promise of a coming judgment. So today we live in a world that like this. It don't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't, as long as you're sincere and you're good, God will take you to heaven. If we believe that, we need to get this Bible and put it away and never open it again. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible does not teach such things. But see, why do people speak that way? Is because the Bible says, even Peter says, they're willingly ignorant. They talk about things, they say the thing is in the Bible, it's not there. Folks, one person said to me one time, God helps those who help themselves. And I said to me, can you give me a chapter, Bible, and verse? Go ahead. Give me a Bible, the Bible. Give me a chapter and verse. I want to know. Oh, it's in the Bible. You show me. It's not there. Folks, the world always going to have the opinion about Jesus' return for his church as he promised. But we know that his promises are true. By faith, we wait on his coming. So what do we do, Christians, in this world? We need to refocus on this. My life is to glorify my Savior. And as I glorify my Savior, I wait for that blessed hope. And until he comes, I will live a life that brings glory and honor to him. And let me tell you, you might be the only one in your neighborhood that does that. You might be the odd out person. And you might feel discouraged and say, well, nobody's doing that. Exactly. But you know what? If you refocus on what is important, if you refocus what is important to you, that's what is important. So look what it says in John chapter 14, verse 3. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. That's a promise. Let it be. Don't worry about man's time. Look at verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So don't worry about man's time. People saying, when is God? He said he's coming. Well, he's there 2,022 years. He said he's coming. Ha, ha, ha. He didn't came yet. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about the markers. Jesus is coming as he said he will. You know, we need to do, we need to focus and refocus on God's promises. You know what we need to do this new year? Refocus on God and his word. You know, we might have our minds and our hearts full of this world. We know what this world teaches. We know what this world wants us to do. We need to empty ourselves of that and fill our minds with what God says. How can you do that? You need to spend time in the word of God. Let me tell you today. Today is the second day of the year. Did you read your Bible yet? I started yesterday. I do it every year. I go systematically through the Bible. I think it should be a journey that we do. I go systematically through the Bible. I read 5 chapters yesterday. I said, yes. And you know what? Every time you read, God gives you something new. Amen. Refocus. Let's refocus this year. Number 2, refocus on the Lord's burden for the lost. Look at that in verse 9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come into repentance. I remember, my mind goes years back, when my dad was unsaved, and the doctor said that he had cancer, and he had terminal, and there was nothing you could do. He had about 2 months to live. And my prayers is, Lord, give me the opportunity to tell my dad about the Savior, by you, before he departs from this world. I'll tell you what, he gave me that opportunity. Isn't that wonderful when we give somebody or share with somebody our hearts of the hope that we have in our hearts? Folks, just because we are living in 2022, it doesn't mean that God changed this plan of salvation for mankind. God did not change his plan at all. Salvation is still by faith alone in Jesus alone. And also God's plan to go to reach the lost still the same as it was, for he didn't change anything. We as his children are called to, or commanded to go and reach the world. I said, listen, if you don't renew your mind, let me tell you what's going to happen. You will have another year with the same old, and by the end of the year, you didn't talk to one person about Jesus. If we go to the same old. But let me tell you, when we do that, we are disobeying the Lord. Because let me put it this way. Each day that we have, think about it. all the routine of life that you have, how many people you come in contact with? How many people you tell about Jesus? One? Nobody? Look what it says in the verse. It says, but he's long-suffering towards usward, now willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. Folks, just because we live in this day doesn't mean that we shouldn't tell anyone about the Lord. Folks, maybe you personally never led anyone to Christ to this very day. Maybe you never give a gospel tract to a person. Maybe you never witnessed to someone to this day. Don't you know that you can change that pattern of living? You can change by refocusing on what is right and what is what you should be doing. People's lives are at stake here. They need salvation. So you have a friend, and that friend spent a lot of time with you, back and forth. Let's say that friend died, and you have the rest of your days to regret that you never told them about Jesus. May we refocus this year on what God calls us to do, is to reach the lost. Two things we can do this way about reaching the lost. And that's what we're going to do as our church. The first one is we individually are to reach the lost. We are commended by God to do that. Secondly, collectively, as a church, we should always have a mind to reach the lost as well. So you're reaching the lost individually, but as your church reaches the lost, you should put yourself in and say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I want to do that too. Let me tell you this. You say, well, I cannot walk the streets. No, you can't, but you can pray. Some people pray. Some people go. But everybody collectively with the same mind, if we renew our minds together, we can do great things for God. We can. Number, letter A there, the Lord is merciful. We see this in verse 9. God's being merciful basically means that we deserve punishment. He doesn't punish us. In fact, he blesses us. And instead, mercy is the withholding of a just condemnation. Isn't that wonderful that we serve a merciful God? Isn't that wonderful that you can tell somebody that is lost, that their mindset is in the world, we can tell them that our God, the God that you worship, is merciful enough to forgive them? Not only is he merciful, he's also long-suffering, let it be. See this in verse 9. He's suffering long. He's a long-suffering Lord. But think about this. Even as people mock him, even as people curse him, even as people put his name into the mud, he's still merciful to them and forgives them. What a wonderful God, isn't it? What a wonderful God we serve. As much as people spewed him and spit on him, let me tell you, he still forgives those people if they ask forgiveness. But let me tell you something. There are people, maybe in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in the streets, wherever you go, that need Jesus. Listen, get the camera and refocus on what is important. Refocus on God. Let us see, the Lord is now willing that people die lost. The Lord's desire is for every single person on the face of the earth to be saved. From the poorest to the most rich, God's desire is that they receive Jesus as their personal Savior. So folks, because we are in the 21st century, doesn't mean that the Lord have changed the way he goes about reaching the lost. Look what it says in Matthew. Go to Matthew 28:19. I want you to see something there. I think that we here in America, I think we need to refocus on what is important and relevant in our lives. Let me tell you, I think we need to do a survey in our lives. Listen, I do this every year. In the end of the year and in the beginning of a new year, I always take a survey of my life and what I need to put aside that is not good and what I need to move forward to. Maybe include something else, but I think it's healthy for us to do a survey of our lives, what we had and what we can change. Maybe it's our behavior that needs to change. Maybe it's the way we live our lives that needs to change. Maybe it's the way we eat that needs to change. Whatever it is, it's healthy to do a survey in our lives and where we're going. Look, it says in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore. The Bible gives a command there for whom? To Christians. To go and tell and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which have I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the world. Jesus said to you and me, when you go and talk to others about me, I'm with you. Wow. Folks, let me put it this way. We live in a day and age today, everything is about science. And everybody's forgetting about God. Question. Why is that? I think we Christians are not doing the job that we should be doing. Are we refocusing our minds in the right things, in the right perspectives? What people need is God. Let me put it this way. People are relying so much in science. I'm not against science. Don't get me wrong. But they're relying so much on science. Because, they're so afraid of dying. Listen, if you're so afraid of dying, why don't you run to Jesus? Because that's what you need before you die. And by the way, nobody dies out of time. Everybody dies in time. We say, well, that person is supposed to live 10 more years. Who are you to tell that? Oh, that person died so young, could have lived another 20, 30 years. Really? Who are you to tell that? Everyone has an appointment with their maker, and everyone dies at the right time. The problem is many people are not prepared to die. I said, what kind of message is this for the new year? Well, it's a reality check message. The reality is this, you don't know when your day is called, because when your day is called, you can run whenever you want to run. You know what? You'll meet God that day. I watch a show this week, and it was The Undertaker. This person went to this town, and this person saw The Undertaker. And the person ran and went home and told his master, listen, I need to run out of this place because The Undertaker were looking after me. So the person ran to another city, told the master, I'm going to another city. So the master went to town, and happened, the master saw The Undertaker and said, listen, what are you doing here? You scared my servant. And The Undertaker said, I was surprised it was here. I said, supposed to meet him in that city. Exactly where he went. Listen, you cannot run away from your appointment with God. You will meet God at the right time. So today we rely so much in this stuff. You know what? Humanism all the way. And we forget about God. Listen, if you're so afraid of dying, why don't you run to Jesus? Because he can give you the hope that goes beyond the grave. Folks, let's be serious here. Jesus paid in full the price of my sin and your sin. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people out there that needs Jesus. Let it be. The Lord knows the day of that. I'm sorry. The Lord knows the judgment day is coming. So folks, the day of reckoning is coming for every single person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This is a thing that goes in the face of humanism, in the face of this world. They don't want to believe that. As long as I'm sincere, as long as I'm good, I'm a good person, I do this, I do that, God will take me to heaven because, listen to what they say, I deserve it. Many people will say that right in your face. I don't need this religion thing. I don't need this Jesus thing. I'm sincere. I'm a good person. When I die, I'm going to heaven because I deserve, because I'm a good person. Let me put it this way. Nobody goes to heaven because they're good people. Right. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, there was two thieves on that cross. And some denominations say there was a good thief and bad thief. Folks, I never knew of a good thief. A thief is a thief, right? They were bad people. There were murderers hanging in there. You know, they didn't change their life. You know what? One looked to God and said, forgive me. Listen, we don't have to be good people to get to heaven. I'm not saying go live a bad life. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, we need Jesus to get to heaven. That's what we need. So number three is refocus on the Lord's expectations for Christians. We see this from verse 11 to verse 12. Look what it says. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, that what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting into the coming of the day of the Lord. We see this in 2 Peter 3:11 and verse 12. Folks, so we may not think much about this, but the truth is that the Lord has expectations for his children. As we live in this world, we represent him, and he has expectations for you and me. Let me tell you this. We have married people here, and we have married people here that have children. When you raise your children, didn't you raise your children with expectations? I mean, every house have different rules. I understand that. Every house have different standards. I understand that. But I believe that every parent have expectations for their children. Every one of us. If God is our Heavenly Father, don't you think he have expectations for all of us? So I think we need to renew our minds and refocus on what is important and live a life that brings glory to our God, because he has expectations on us. Letter A, God expects his children to be different. Folks, it don't matter on what age a Christian lives, God expects us to be different from the world. Listen, we can be the odd man out. We can look like, you know, everybody dressing black and we dressing blue. It doesn't matter. You know what? We ought to be different from the world. Folks, like a good father, our Heavenly Father have expectations upon his children. And one of the greatest expectations that we live godly, listen to this, godly separated lives. Listen, our manner of living should be a life that brings glory to him. And people around us, they know that we are different. I tell you what, when I became a Christian, I lost a lot of friends. I didn't do it purposely. I lost a lot of friends. Because I didn't see it, but I began to change. And they don't like your change. So you excluded. But you know what? We should praise the Lord for that, because we know that we are being different. Not because we're being different, and that's the way we are as Christians. We should be different. We should not mingle with the world. We should be different from the world. Remember, we are ambassadors of Christ in this world. We are to make a difference in this world, because ultimately, if we are just like the world, guess what? We would never win nobody for Christ. They would die and go to hell. Listen, do you want a friend of yours to go to hell? Do you want a loved one of yours to go to hell? Do you want your co-worker to go to hell? You know, I don't think none of us want. But I tell you what, if we don't not different, if you don't speak the word of truth to them, how are they going to know? How are they going to know? Our way of life should be different. Our speech should be different. Our behavior should be different. Our love for others and for each other should be different. Our love for the Lord should be honest and full of truth. Number one, there on that, different in their behavior. Look what it says there in verse 11 of our text. It says, "What manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness?" The holy conversations here, it means a way of life, the way we live our lives. As we withdraw our minds from focusing on the world and refocus on the Lord, his word and his house, our behavior ought to change as well. We won't be able to refocus on the Lord if our minds continues to focus on the world. We need to refocus on what God says and live a life that brings glory to him. We're different in our behavior. You say, well, my behavior is not that good. Well, you have a brand new year. Start over. Start fresh. God says his mercies are new every morning. So why not start fresh and good? Number two, different in their holy conduct. Look what it says in 2 Peter 3:11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons are ye to be? You see, folks, because we know what's going to happen in the universe and to this world, individually and collectively, we're not sure to go, oh, I'm saved, It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to have it, so I'm going to live the way I want. No, no, no. It shouldn't be that way. It should be we should live our lives the way God wants us to live. Godly, honorable lives to a world that desperately needs Him. I think we need to refocus on what is important. Do a survey in your life. Let's do a survey individually in our lives and say, get a garbage bag. I use that when I counsel people, especially marriages. I always use the power of the garbage bag. Literally, what is, doesn't fit in your life, throw it in the garbage. Write it down and say, okay, unkindness, boom. Mean to people, boom. Steal, no more, boom, in there. Put it in the garbage bag and let it go. Got to be different in their holy conduct, how we live our lives, how we deal with people, the way we deal with people every day, how we live this life. We ought to have a holy conduct, be kind, loving to people, be truthful to people. Number three, be different in their godliness. Look what it says right there. It says, what manner of persons are ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The mystery of godliness is in the heart of the Christian faith. We ought to live a life that is a life of goodness and separate. Let me tell you something. The world knows if you're a Christian, they point all your faults right in your face. You're a Christian, not supposed to do that. How do they know that? You ever have somebody saying that? Hey, you a Christian. Why are you doing that? Are you a Christian? Why are you speaking like that? You a Christian. Why are you behaving like that? You a Christian. What are you doing over here? You see that? They pointed at you. Shouldn't be it a statement for us to stop and review our lives, do a survey and refocus on what is important? Folks, I think all of us have a wonderful year of opportunity to do things right. Let it be. God expects Christians to anticipate His return. Live, I think, I put it like this. If we live our lives this year anticipating the Lord's return, believe me, our lives will change. If we keep the Lord in our minds and say, Lord, it is today that you're going to come. And tomorrow we say, Lord, it's today that you're going to come. And the next day, Lord, is that today you're going to come? If we live our lives with our minds in expectations of His return, everything else around us will change. Our behavior will change. Our speech will change. The way we treat people will change. The way we live our lives in our own homes will change. Everything will change. You know why? Because we're looking for Him. We need to refocus on what is important. Let me put it this way. I conclude with this. What is important to you? What is important to your own personal life? Do you need to refocus your life on what is important? You say, well, my focus in my life are not on good things. Well, you can move the camera and focus on something that is good. We need to refocus. I think this year is what we're going to do. We need to refocus personally in our own lives. What we focus on is and do a survey on our lives and say, what can I take out that doesn't build me up and doesn't build people around me? What kind of garbage I have in my life that I need to put in the garbage bag? But also, I need to refocus on something else, not only in me, but on others. Do I care about other people? Do I have a helping hand? Do I have a generous heart? Do I have a way that I can go to people and tell them about the hope that I have in Jesus? I tell you, folks, what a wonderful year, 2022, to refocus the lens of our mind on what is important. What was your focus in 2021? What is your focus for 2022? What is the focus of your life in 2022? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time we spent together, the first Sunday of the month, of the year. And Lord, help us to refocus this year on what is important. May we not forget what we're living for. And I pray for each person here this morning in a very special way. They will refocus their minds on what is important and relevant to them. Lord, may they put Jesus at the front of everything that they do. Lord, may they put Jesus in their speech, in their behavior, in their homes, in their workplaces. May they put Jesus in the center of their hearts and let them be Lord of their lives. May they put Jesus at the driver's seat and let them drive their car. I pray, Father, for someone here or someone on social media this morning that never really received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. May today they call upon you for salvation. May they refocus the way they live their life and ask forgiveness and get heaven as their home when they depart from this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.